from LPM.
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson. Welcome to Race Unwrapped, a podcast unwrapping all the ways race affects our world, whether we're thinking about it or not. My guest this episode is Sarah Nunez. She's an educator, activist, and folk healer. We talk about the intersection of race and gender as a Latina, and we talk about healing and self-care. It's all coming up on Race Unwrapped from Louisville Public Media. Welcome to Race Unwrapped. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson. My guest today is Sarah Nunez, activist, educator, and folk healer. Could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
A little about myself. My name is Sarah Cecilia Nunez. I live in Louisville, Kentucky. Been here for about 5 years. Moved from Asheville, North Carolina in 2015 for a position at the University of Louisville, running programs for Latinx students. Building and running programs for Latinx students. And I was born in Bogota, Colombia, and raised in Raleigh, North Carolina. I came to the United States when I was about 3 years old. And, I'm a Southern woman. I love that identity. I do identify as a Southern woman. And I love to say y'all.
I do too. I'm a Midwestern. I love to say y'all.
So I've got, it's a weird to begin, right, with the story. But generally, I'm a full-time PhD student currently studying in the College of Education at the University of Louisville. And I do and run and, founded and helped to coordinate this herb collective called A Florar, which means to bloom in English. And it's we're a collective of mostly members of Mi Gente, which is a national organization that's, fighting for the rights of women's rights. Like we're pro-women, pro-Black, pro-Pueblo, pro-worker. And we're like a political home, of organizers. And we started back in April. And so we've been providing herbal care kits and healing accompaniment to folks during the uprisings here in Louisville specifically, but also providing some aid and care to folks across the country.
I love the idea of living things being part of the care package for people.
Yes. The plant medicine, right?
I love that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how we, how do we take care of ourselves, right? What is this like? With the self-preservation, right, during these times is so important. And I think, not having, right, the ceremony, the ritual, the storytelling, or let's put it in the positive, right, having the storytelling, the ritual, the circle dialogues, the activism, right, the inclusive, like, processes for, learning and unlearning, both our historical, right, our political movements, but also the traditions, right? These healing traditions that are part of most of our cultures. So it's kind of, a project to, unearth a lot of that and also bring us to, a better place personally and collectively.
As a Latinx woman, I wanted to get your feelings, your thoughts on this, this very, especially living in Louisville, this very specific moment we're in right now. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk and emphasis on the Black Lives Movement and on Black people, but as a fellow woman of color, just from a different background, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts? How do you think people are reacting?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting because, I think inside of, Latinx folk are Black as well. So this movement also, includes, Latinx folk who are also Black. So there's, I think that like Black lives absolutely matter and that there's so much that we can be doing individually and collectively to be fighting for, and helping and assisting and advocating for this moment. Right. So I think in the place that I sit, I mean, it's both tragic, right, that we have to have, you know, the murder of a woman in her home and all of the other folks who have been murdered and at the hands of state violence, you know, for there to be this like wake up call in this moment now. And I think that it's challenging inside of, I think, being Latino or Latinidad, right, in the South specifically is even more of an interesting experience. Right? Because our populations have really only been, I mean, we've been here for 50, 60 years, right? Or longer. But the populations have really only been growing over the past 20 years. And, you know, there's, we come from, and I, you know, I don't want to speak for all Latinos, right? You know, or right, for right, all right. people, because everyone's got their own experience. But, you know, we come from such, like, well, we all come from such brutal past. Right. So being colonized. Right. But also being colonizers. We have really dichotomous. Right. Like identities because of these like histories. Right. Like our countries have been, you know, had to deal with for, you know, the last 50 years or more, you know, U.S. backed military dictatorships. And then in some cases, you know, histories of like what happened in Cuba, where, you know, you had, you know, communist governments, right? And people actually fleeing, right? Communist governments. So it's a really complex thing, right? Because Latin America is, you know, 23 different countries.
Absolutely.
You know, we have, you know, the slave trade was huge there, right? You know, Brazil and Colombia and the Caribbean, and we have this convergence of, you know, European, indigenous, and Black histories, right? Plus the colonizers, plus, right, the stripping, right, of our complete culture and history and traditions. And then, you know, this influx of, like, movement, right, migration into the United States.
And for the record, I don't want you to feel as if I'm trying to have you represent every person of Latin descent.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that at all, but by speaking to someone of Latin descent, you know, talking about these things that folks talk about all the time, I hope what my podcast does is it makes people go, oh, wow, there's a whole different angle of things I don't even think about. That there are people
exactly who
I pass walking down the street or who I see at work or when I go to the store who have this whole, you know, mental, emotional, historical, familial background that I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah, and I just always preface it that way to just to be like, you know, it's like I have my own analysis of this because I've studied it, because I am actually doing research on it now, you know, like, and I spend a lot of time sitting around thinking, right, about identity, about like the progress, like the progression of identity, about acculturation and assimilation, about like the brutal histories of our countries. Like, so I spend so much time thinking about it that it's always, I always like to say, it's like, you know, is my own sort of interpretation of it. And you may speak to someone else who's like, ooh, right. Or maybe they themselves hadn't thought about it. Right. Because I think what happens for Latinos, especially those living in the South, is that, you know, we come here and you know, and each family has a different story, right. Because some families come, I mean, it's just, it's so, it just becomes so complex that it's like, wow, as we're talking about specifically what the Colombian experience might be, or what my family's experience might be, could be completely different from another family from the same neighborhood, right?
Right.
In Bogota, Colombia, right? And so it just becomes, it is super complex. You know, it is super complex. I think the race issue is super complex. And then even deeper to that is like the immigration stories, right? And then even deeper to that is like, what is it like to experience that in the Southeastern United States?
And then when you go another layer, which is what I'm getting at, being a woman with all of that. Yeah. You know, like the role of being a woman, or whether you're leading a family, the matriarch, or whether you're, you know, one of the younger people or whatever. And then right now, because we've got, you know, several things going on, we got the pandemic. Like, for example, Is there a way you feel like as, you know, do you prefer Latina, Latinx? What's your preferred term?
Yeah, I'm fine either way. Yeah, okay, Latina, right. Latinx.
Uh-huh. Okay. What are some observations you're making about how Latinas are having to hold it down during this pandemic right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, between, I think, family obligations, work obligations, the caretaking in general, right, of the pressures of all of those pieces, you know, I think part of it, you know, I think has a lot to do with class, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what do people have access to? And, you know, can they access good medical care and get tested on a regular basis and be able to get the medications that they need? You know, or is there, you know, are they having to, you know, like, fly under the surface and, you know, kind of use what's available and being provided in community and sort of through these mutual aid networks that are being developed? But yeah, I mean, I think that as in my case, I am a caretaker of both of my elderly parents. And so, you know, I think the pandemic has absolutely like heightened the amount of care and nurturing. But then it was also like how I decided to step into the movement, this particular movement, right? In this particular time, I was really more moved to providing, you know, herbal care and remedies and like, you know, bringing back these concepts of remembering, you know, our traditional healing practices as a way to help us fight, right? And fight back. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I think I think definitely my gender plays into that nurturing and that role of wanting to, you know, support people. I mean, there's so many things that herbs can help with, right? Like anxiety and stress.
I get it. I had this little
over-worrying.
I have this herbal blend that I have to take in the morning to both keep my brain sharp and my emotions even. So I get it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, how often is it that these things aren't actually readily available for all of our people? And so... So I think that like how I've shown up and how it's really impacted me is to say like, I want to be able to provide folks with the tools they need to be able to show up, right? In their best selves and their higher selves and their ability to, you know, stay strong and resilient and, you know, and then on those days when you don't feel so good, right? Mm-hmm. Having these plant, you know, allies to like help assist us, with whatever might be happening, right? Like deep depression, anxiety, and sometimes even, right, like symptoms of you know, flu and sickness and things like that. You can help, right, make yourself feel a little bit better.
And that's it. I mean, just right now, there's so much going on. I mean, I think all of us are dealing with overload, but we're all dealing with it differently. I love the way you're integrating your cultural background and how you're approaching stress and support. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think it takes shape in other ways as well, right? Like it's, you know, the act of activism, right? And organizing, right? Is also like a healing modality. You know, the act of like being able to tell your story or share your story with other people in movement and then, you know, is a healing right?
It's modalities. So. Yes. Yes. That's, I mean, that's honestly why I'm so excited about, you know, this podcast, not just this season, but future seasons, because it's about just talking to different kinds of people, getting their stories, hearing their different angles on things. I mean, it matters and it's all so American. We don't think of it. I mean, we've kind of gotten as a country into the bad habit of thinking that I should rephrase that. There are certain aspects of our society that have gotten into thinking that the true American is anything that has light skinned and a, you know, a UK pedigree, right? You know, you know, maybe some of the other light skinned, you know, European countries, but we're all American, right? I mean, you and I are every bit as American as somebody whose folks got here on the Mayflower.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So one question I'm trying to remember to ask every woman I talk to as part of this is, what do you think is the greatest source of strength of being a woman with your background, you know, whether you want to answer mm-hmm. that as a someone from Columbia, whether you want to answer that as a North Carolina Latinx, a Louisville Latinx, a Southern, or as you said earlier, a Southern Latinx. What's your unique sort of superpower?
I think there's this really special piece and part of doing movement work that is based in making, I think, movement or the work that you do like irresistible. And so creating space and place where people can feel like they've arrived home. And, you know, I might not always do it perfectly or always with the best finesse, but I feel like in my work, those like the building bridges and the ability to bring people together towards a common goal, and maybe that goal is a small feat, right? It doesn't have to be something super huge, but that bringing of folk together from various backgrounds and being able to sit with one another and look one another in the eyes and be honest and open and feel like you're home in that space and in that moment in time.
That was Sarah Nunez, activist, educator, and folk healer. I'm Michelle Tyrene Johnson, and this is Race Unwrapped.
Race Unwrapped is produced by Michelle Tyrene Johnson for Louisville Public Media. Our senior producer is Laura Ellis. Allison Cross created our music. For more information, to contact us, or to support Race Unwrapped, visit WFPL.org/raceunwrapped.